Good morning.
Good morning.
How wonderful it is to be here with you as we gather to praise our Lord God Almighty. Our God is the God of creation. He created us and everything we see. Our God is a God of love, a God of grace, and a God of mercy. He is worthy of all of our praise. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever walked through a pitch black room? Afraid you'll trip or stumble, you've got your hands out looking for anything to touch to guide your steps. Have you ever felt that way in life? That you're just walking in the dark, confused, stumbling through life? Have you ever felt that way spiritually? That you're walking in spiritual confusion and not understanding? When Jesus calls us to follow Him, He calls us to come out of confusion and see clearly. He calls us to not walk in darkness, but to walk in life. He calls us to add a fear and integrate faith. It is in that sense that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You know, Jesus not only illuminating a path for us, but He's offering us identity. He's offering us clarity. He's offering us a type and mission for life. Oh, they attacked Him. The Pharisees were constantly trying to trick Him up. But Jesus knew who He was. Oh, they attacked His mission. They attacked Him. They attacked His authority to teach. But didn't it cause Jesus to flinch for a moment? Because He knew He was speaking the truth because of the unity He had with the Father. So as He calls us to come to Him, let us be faithful and serve Him daily. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to notice, what about truth? And first we're going to notice Jesus' introduction to truth. For Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, let's set the stage. It is the week of the Feast of Tabernacles. At the Feast of Tabernacles, every evening, they would light four major lamps in the court of women. Some people in research have said they were 75 feet high, but they lit up the whole temple and many courtyards surrounding the temple. And in this background of all the lighting of the lamps and everything being totally lit up, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus claimed to be the light, to lead us out of darkness, to lead us back to God, to walk after Him. Jesus is this beacon of light showing us the path to eternal salvation if we will walk after Him. Oh, He identifies His unique position because He's the Son of God. He identifies His unique position because of the fellowship He has with His Father. Well, from His statement of "I am," we learn that Jesus is God. He said, "I am the light of the world." You remember in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where God told Moses and the children of Israel who He was? He said, "I am that I am." And Jesus said, "I am," claiming deity, claiming to be God. He said, "I am." From this, we also learn that Jesus is Messiah, fulfilling His work of lighting the way. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, Isaiah prophesied, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has His light shone." Jesus is the light to shine upon people in darkness, to lead us out. From this passage, we also learn that Jesus is the Savior For he came to save mankind. In Revelation 21, 23, in John seeing the vision of heaven, he says, "And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist said of Jesus that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus takes away our sins and saves us from eternal damnation. Well, as we continue that verse, we come upon a promise of Jesus. For Jesus says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." That's a promise. If we walk out of Jesus, we will not walk in the darkness of the world. If we will faithfully follow him, we'll walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, there's five benefits to light that we can gain instantly. For from light, we see that Jesus provides guidance. Guidance. He lights the path. He shows us the way. He leads us to salvation. The benefit of life is safety. You know, in the dark, people have fear. But when light comes about, they have hope. They feel safe. They see direction for their lives. Light also gives wisdom. For when we come to the light of the world, we learn of God. We learn of Jesus' desire for how we're to live to please God. And we learn to walk after him. We're not in spiritual darkness. We're not walking in spiritual disorientation. For we're walking after the light of the world. Light also gives comfort. In darkness comes fear. But when the light comes, we have great comfort and hope. It's like walking through a dense forest late at night, and it's dark, for the moon is not shining. And you're scared, and you're afraid. And then all of a sudden, a light appears in the distance, and that gives you hope. That gives you direction. That gives you your way out. Well, Jesus is the light that gives us that way out. Jesus is the light that gives us comfort. And Jesus is the light because light gives life. If we will walk after Jesus, we will have eternal life. Life forevermore. Not life that's going to end in pain and suffering, but light in the presence of God, filled with joy, happiness, and peace. Jesus is the light of the world. It does not mean that people arbitrarily receive the light, for there is something we must do to walk after Jesus. To walk after Jesus means that we must serve him and do his will. You know, in the Bible, light has often been used for God and for guidance. In Psalm 27, verse 1, David said, "The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" In 1 John 1, 5 through 7, John says, "Jesus is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we will walk after him, we will not walk in darkness." Only those who follow him as the light will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Did you hear me? Only those who follow him as the light will be delivered from darkness and have the light of life. Well, what does it mean to walk in darkness compared to walking in the light? To walk in darkness is to walk in the world. To walk in darkness is to pursue the things of the world. To walk in light is to pursue heaven, is to pursue a life evermore, a light everlasting, if we will walk after Jesus in the light. You know, society is inundated with disinformation. But Jesus gives us clarity in the information we see. Jesus is truth. Jesus is a beacon to lead us. Jesus offers us freedom if we will walk after him. So Jesus is the light of the world. he introduces that truth about who he is. But anytime truth is presented, people are going to accuse. So we come to the indictment of truth. That is, the Jews, the Pharisees, accused Jesus of not telling the truth. For look at John chapter 8 and verse 12. He says, or verse 13, so the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And they say, your teachings can't be true because you're the only ones confirming it. You can't confirm it on your own. The Mishnah, the oral teachings of the Jews written down in a book, says no man can testify of himself. They say, your words are not true. You're the only one testifying about it. But you know, Jesus confirmed that. For in John chapter 5, in verse 12, Jesus said that, they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? That Jesus said, no man can testify of himself. But Jesus told them that, yes, you're attacking me for telling the truth, but I am the truth. I walk after the truth. The Pharisees were among the most prominent enemies of Jesus. Anytime Jesus was criticized, there the Pharisees were. Anytime Jesus had confrontations, there the Pharisees were. They were trying to discredit his teachings in order to discredit the man. You know, the best way to attack a person is to attack their words. If you're not a man of truth, then your words are worthless. As we walk after Jesus, we must strive to walk after the truth. So they accused Jesus of not telling the truth. Well, Jesus readily refutes the charge. Jesus refutes the charge. He forcefully replies the objection of the unwarranted charges brought about by the Pharisees. First, Jesus points out that he's aware of where he came from. Jesus was aware of his origin and his destiny. Jesus says, I know where I came from. I came from heaven. I know where I'm going. I'm going back to heaven, to the right hand of God. So first, Jesus was aware of his origin and destiny. Next slide, please. Next, Jesus Christ speaks the truth at the mouth of two witnesses. They were confronting his divine testimony. He says, I know where I am and where I've come from. And he says, my truth is spoken at the mouth of two witnesses. He says, I testify of the truth, and my Father testifies of the truth. Look at verse 17. Jesus said, in your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. Well, there are two people testifying. I'm testifying, and the Father is testifying. It goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 6, where as at the mouth of two to three witnesses shall truth be established. Well, Jesus says it is at the mouth of two witnesses, me and my Father. But the Jews didn't want to hear that. They wanted someone right there in their presence to verify the truth. They didn't want to hear about his relationship with the Father. The Pharisees accused him. It was John 5:31 where Jesus says, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. So he sets the record straight. Third, the Pharisees wanted to judge according to the flesh. You're about three slides behind. To judge according to the flesh. Jesus had already warned them about not speaking and judging according to the flesh. Remember the lesson last week? He says you're not to judge according to the flesh. They simply thought Jesus was a man of Galilee. So there's six applications about judging according to the flesh. The Pharisees were judging on outward appearance and not what is inside. Have we ever done that? Have you ever judged people by how they looked before you ever knew what was in their heart? The Pharisees judged according to man's rule, not God's. Do we make up our own rules on which we judge people? Or do we judge people according to the truth? The third way the Pharisees judged, they judged the temporary was more valuable than the eternal. Do we think this life and the things we can amass in this life is more important than eternal life? Fourth, they had judged of what pleases man and not what pleases God. Do we judge to make ourselves happy? Or do we judge to please God? Fifth, they judged by what gave physical nourishment over spiritual nourishment. How often do we pursue physical things over spiritual things? And they judged by what advances in the world, not the next one. We're living for the next one. This life is just a passing through. 70, 80, 90 years is a brief drop in the bucket compared to eternal life. So the Pharisees wanted to judge according to the flesh. Jesus says, I judge no one. That is, Jesus did not never judge anyone. He says, I judge no one in the way you're judging them. If the way you judge according to the flesh, I don't judge that way. I judge according to the truth. Well, there's danger in judging according to the truth, of which we must be aware. So they're judging by the flesh, brought about their ignorance of the truth. Jesus said in verse 19, look at verse 19. Jesus says, they said to him, therefore, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And if they truly knew the Father in His Word, the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied of Him coming, then they would have believed Him, that He is the Son of God, that His words are true. The Pharisees were very ignorant of the truth. How often is it that dissidents who oppose the Word of God have not knowledge of truth? It seems like those who attack God do not have any spiritual knowledge according to the truth, because they're judging according to the flesh. The enemies of Christ were ignorant of a number of very important matters. For the enemies of Christ were ignorant of the origin of Christ. Remember last week, they said, you're from Nazareth. We know where you're from, and we know who your father is. It's Joseph. They were ignorant that Jesus was of the Father. They were ignorant that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, just like it was prophesied. They were ignorant of where Jesus came, from where Jesus came. Not only that, they were ignorant of the identity of Jesus. In verse 25, they said, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare in the word what I've heard for him. And they said, who are you? That's a question so many people in the world deal with today. Who is Jesus? If they will search, they will find the truth and come to him. They did not identify. You know, who is Jesus is the most important question mankind can ever ask. Who is Jesus is the most important question you will ever ask. Because who is Jesus and how you accept who he is will determine your eternal future. If you accept Jesus as the truth, as the light of the world, then your future is sealed as you strive to walk faithfully before him. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God that we are his children. Not only were they ignorant of the identity of Jesus, they were ignorant of the teachings of Jesus. You know, nothing darkens understanding like unbelief in Christ. When we don't believe in Jesus, we have no foundation for truth. When we do not believe his teachings, then we're walking in darkness. We're walking in the world. We're not walking to him. And you know, the Pharisees' fate was sealed. And if you walk in darkness, your fate is sealed, because there is a curse to ignorance. Look at verses 21 through 24. So Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jew says, will he kill himself, since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus told them that if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins. Three times he tells them that. You will die in your sins. Well, people today, if we do not follow Jesus, if we do not repent of the sin in our lives, then we will die in our sins. And you know what that means? That means we're not going to a blessing of eternal salvation. It means we're not going to be with God the Father. It means that we are totally lost. But there comes a time that there can be the cessation of ignorance. There can be a time when we can come to learn the truth. If you learn the truth, salvation is offered. If you don't, then it's eternal damnation. Cessation would not result in salvation, but damnation. Oh, these people learn the truth, but they still refuse to follow it. So their eternal destiny was in hellfire below. There's three important truths to be learned at Calvary. Jesus says, when I am lifted up, then you'll know who I am. What are important truths we learn from Calvary? Well, first, we learn the identity of Jesus. Even in his crucifixion, God was screaming, Jesus Christ is his son. Pilate wrote and hung on a sign above Jesus while he was crucified, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, John 19:19. It was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Now the sign is Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. But all the common languages of the day, and everybody who walked by and looked up saw and would learn that Jesus is the King of the Jews. So the crucifixion teaches us who Jesus is. Not only would they learn that, they would learn of the authority of Jesus. While on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. I have completed the work that you have given me to do. I have done your will. And on the cross, we learn the purity of Jesus. Remember, one of the thieves said, this man has done nothing wrong, Luke 23:41. The Roman centurion says, certainly this man is innocent. Even when Pilate was trying Jesus, Pilate said, I find no fault in him, and he said it three times. In the crucifixion, we learn that Jesus died pure and holy in the sight of God, the last blood sacrifice to ever be acquired by man. Well, what will I do with this knowledge that Jesus is the light of the world? I can come to Jesus and walk in the light. I come to Jesus when I repent of my sins, confess that I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I am submit to being baptized, fully immersed in water, to have my sins washed away, to rise and walk in newness of life. Knowing that Jesus is the light of the world, I can share that with others and teach them about salvation. I can walk in the light as he is in the light, and I can continue to walk in that light if I will confess my sins as they occur and pray for forgiveness. Are you walking in the light today? Will you follow him and never walk in darkness? Will you come to him today if you need to make your life right with him? We encourage you to respond to the front now as we stand and sing.